You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yes, indeed. You are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. All the principals here, John Lopez, Reggie Latitula, Figgy Fig, and you rolling with us. Technically, and as I pull the curtain back, we are doing the thing. It's a changing of the guard as we're heading into the 2025 season playoffs in the year of our Lord 2026. Always weird to do that. However, we have the banner up too.
In Swarm City.
It says Swarm City. I love what they've done with it, right? Mm-hmm. So it says 2025 playoffs. That's in nice red. Of course, the background is the deep steel blue that you love, you know and love. Swarm has, it's like a diamond background to it. It looks like it is diamond, and it's got horns on it, and then City is nice script. And they're really leaning into the Swarm City mantra, and it seems like it has a certain, I wonder why they went with diamond. Is it the hardness of the diamond? Is that what they went with diamond for? Like, you know, something that's tough. Physical, but then also has a level of flash to it.
That's gotta be it, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just being the art critic that's like, yes, clearly by blue they meant a freedom and an airiness. And it's like, no, it just meant blue.
No thinking like overthinking.
Just look cool.
They're probably like, yeah, we just wanted that color.
Nope. It looked cool.
No reason.
It does look cool,
although
though.
Diamonds cut, you know.
Exactly, right? Yeah, they're the hardest material known to man.
They're over there listening like, sure.
The reason why I bring that up is that we're in the full playoff swing. We got our banner up. We've got the feelings going. And no position is more important, if I learn how to speak English and use the grammar and syntax. No position is more important in the National Football League and in football in general than the quarterback position. In fact, sometimes we'll oversimplify and we will rank things or judge things simply off of the quarterback. And so I don't want to go to that degree, but I am interested in how we are viewing the quarterback landscape of these playoffs. We kind of talk about the teams just in general and how it's kind of open and there's only a few teams that you really look at as dominant forces. But I kind of want to power rank the quarterbacks here, and it's all to the end of how are you viewing C.J. Stroud headed into these playoffs?
Well, I'm just looking at the AFC right now. Do you want to go by conference?
We can.
Because that's what matters.
But I kind of want to go all the way across if you want.
We will, but I'm like, what matters the most to us and Houston Texans fans right now is the AFC. I mean, it is a very clear number one.
Yeah, that's Josh Allen.
It's Josh Allen.
And you know what's annoyed me about this, and again, the reason why I put the disclaimer on the front side of this conversation is, have you seen all the people that as soon as the Ravens got knocked out in that final game, they're like, oh, well, Josh Allen now has to win it. No, he doesn't. No, That's not how this works.
No, because the rush defense, we talked about it a little bit, because so many other factors, and a team might be better. They're the sixth
seed. The team around him sucks.
They're the sixth seed, yeah.
The team around him is not good enough. Yeah. Well, the team around him and James Cook, because James Cook is right along with him.
Yeah.
But everybody else, I look around and I go, hey, y'all the Pips.
Yeah.
It is Josh Allen, James Cook, and the Pips.
Yeah.
And so, but he very clearly is the best quarterback that we have going right now in the playoffs.
But then
in the AFC, right?
Then you look at it and you almost cannot have a wrong answer. Even though I would think most people would lean either Bo Nix or Drake May second, you know, choose your favorite flavor. But they both have questions. You know, they both have, not a lot of experience, really sort of just emerging, et cetera. Who would you put? Who would you put second?
It's rough because I think we also have, there's two facets. There is in the short term, in like their current form, how are they playing? And then there's a long term belief that you have.
Yeah.
And I think the answer that I would go with second, because of circumstance, because of current play, has a cognitive dissonance that's created because of a long-term question that you have with them. And I think it's probably Trevor Lawrence.
I think it's Trevor Lawrence is certainly in the mix right there because of how he's playing right now.
But you see what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. You can't have a lot of confidence in him.
Or at least you haven't way that he's played. I mean, he got that contract, and we have, to this point, or at least to this season, been like, ain't no way that you're paying him to do that. But the talent has been there ever since he was drafted and even in those earlier facets. it just hasn't come all together. And it feels like Liam Cohen has been the dude, with the help of Jacoby Myers, sliding guys into the right place in this offense.
Did you hear Liam Cohen talking about him yesterday?
I didn't. I missed it.
Liam Cohen was talking about him like D'Amico talks about Togiai. I mean, he was raving.
And I imagine for Liam Cohen, right, and this is not to denigrate Baker Mayfield by any means, but you have all the aptitude and all you need is the dude who can drive. It's like you put this together, right? You're working on an F1 team, and your team has built the perfect car, right? You got the best car on the grid. But then you get your Lando Norris. I don't know who is actually at top. I forgot who won F1 this year. Please don't get me. I don't usually watch this. But you get your guy, your driver, that feels like he knows how to operate the car perfectly. That's what it feels like that he's doing there. So I understand that from his perspective.
Yeah. What's interesting is, you know, if you go how they're playing right now, I think it's Josh Allen and Trevor Lawrence, and then you have Bo Nix and Drake May.
You're putting them both on the same line?
I think I am.
Really?
Over Justin Herbert?
Ain't no way I'm putting
him over Herbert.
Actually, I feel weird because I have Drake May under T. Law, and I might be doing too much there. We talked about this yesterday about the coaching and the ways that your offense coordinator and your head coach can probably help mitigate some of these things for Drake May. No, they will not be on the field, but yes, they can prime him and give him the best opportunity to be successful. And if we're just talking about that recent time period, he's playing better than T. Law. Should I have put him above T. Law for the experience?
Recently?
Dude, he is
have
as
you
close
seen
to
Lawrence's numbers in the last five games. Games?
You're right, but he's as close to MVP caliber as we have.
Yeah, I think we kind of hold him back on Drake May because, you know, this is his first time here.
Experience.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting though?
At least he has to be third at the very least.
Yeah, I would put him third or fourth, tied with Bo Nix.
I don't think I could tie Bo. Really?
I'm telling you, I don't want to.
He's been playing solid, man.
It's hard to buy in, and then
he's doing just enough for them to win,
He is.
He ain't blowing nobody's skirt up or anything, just enough.
Are we doing the thing where we're letting the remainder of what the Chargers are doing not have appreciation for what Justin Herbert has done?
I've always said, and for years, I've loved Justin Herbert. I just don't – I just can't buy in right now with the Herbert or the Chargers.
I think I'd put Herbert over Bo Nix.
You would?
I think I would.
Aaron Rodgers is still out there.
I do. Well, you say Aaron Rodgers. You know that we have not mentioned C.J. Stroud.
We have not.
So let's start having this conversation. Because at this point, it doesn't seem like we have a definitive. It feels like we have a 1-2-3 that we're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling about C.J. Stroud as it relates to the remainder of the quarterbacks in the AFC playoffs at this moment?
I think he's just in the mix right behind those top three. It's choose your favorite. One, and I don't think it's necessarily because he's made some fantastic plays, man. He has made individually some fantastic plays, kept drives alive, made some big plays, big, you know, moments, et cetera.
Okay, plays, moments.
But that's not play.
That's not drives. That's not quarters. That's not halves.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's not necessarily all his fault. We've talked about it a million times. It's what they want out of him, you know. He's not, because it's always insulting when you say game manager. He's not that, but he's a cut above that.
So he should be in the same sentence as like a Bo Nix then.
Well, that's what's and that's why I wanted to unearth with trying to kind of stack the way that we felt about these quarterbacks. And I think it gets even more interesting when you start looking over at the NFC, but we could stick with the AFC at this point. And the question I have is, one, because again, you remember I set up the current run of form and the entirety of how you feel about this quarterback. How would you feel about CJ? Do you think that he's played his best football, or do you think that he's capable in this time period to elevate? Because I think that could also create, that could widen the margin. In fact, I think of anything that you have in the playoffs, the thing that gives you the most opportunity to widen your margin and give you a better chance of going deep in this is CJ Stroud raising his level. Mm-hmm. But the question I have is, considering the circumstances of the offense and how they've ran it and what they have available to them, how viable does that feel to you?
I just feel with C.J. Stroud, I just mentioned it. It's he's doing what they want him to do, and he's making the big plays when he sees the opportunity and gets it done. And that's not his fault. It's not his fault. It's how they win. It's what they want. Here's where it gets interesting. Let's quit dilly-dallying around. Let's put a number. Let's go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. AFC? Where would he be?
I want to put him right around where we are, 4 or 5. But also, I recognize I'm having a hard time being as objective as I want to because I'm really leaning on the good plays that I'm seeing him, the keyhole throws that he's having. And he also said that he felt like week 18 was probably his best grasp of, you know, orchestrating all the things in this offense. Can I project that forward?
Yeah.
But then also, can I talk about the instances where sometimes the pass protection elements that we talked about, where we go, some of that is making sure the coaches have him, give him an answer, and some of that is him making sure he utilizes those answers. I think that some of those also give me a little bit of pause. The reason why I wasn't willing to put Bo Nix immediately above him is I think that Bo Nix benefits from, he gets carried for a long period of time until he can get until the time where he can pull something beautiful out of this keister.
Who does that sound like?
Does that feel like CJ to you?
Who does that sound like? Oh, great defense. Who does that sound like?
That's fair.
Right?
I think a lot of people, though, especially if you watch the NFL and all that stuff, a lot of people in their hearts know that CJ Stroud is probably, they'll take CJ Stroud over Bo Nix.
All day, every day.
So we just kind of think in the playoff format.
Yeah, I'd put CJ over Bo.
Yeah, CJ Stroud would be CJ Stroud. We've seen it.
CJ over Justin?
But we can, no, hold on. We can agree on that. But if we're talking about how they're playing, he's playing exactly like Bo Nix.
And I'd still, and I think that I would, if I'm going with where you're going, the tiebreaker is absolutely the long term. We've seen CJ be exquisite.
Oh, for sure.
So I think that the idea that could come exquisite.
Exquisite.
the diamond yes. on the banner got me to that place. Yes. I got to use the fancy words.
So one, Josh Allen.
Yes.
To stop me when you disagree. Two, Trevor Lawrence.
I'm fine with it.
Three, Drake May.
Yeah.
Four, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers. That,
yeah. Honestly, I was thinking Justin Herbert, maybe two or three.
Really?
That's what I was like.
Yeah, I was thinking two
Herbert,
or three.
So Herbert, four.
Herbert's such a weird circumstance because the rest of everything around him is crumbling, including his own body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the best that you can put C.J. Stroud is either five or six, depending on what you compare and contrast with Bo Nix. Oh, actually, Aaron Rodgers is still out there as well. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's nuts.
And some of this is,
as this is a playoff with no Patrick Mahomes, no Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
It's gonna be incumbent upon CJ to do what he's asked first and foremost. But I think that
then do more.
That's gonna be the thing.
We need rookie CJ Stroud out there, man.
If it
was rookie CJ Stroud, he would be number two.
For sure.
All right, nothing lower than three. Without question. And that's before we even talk about what's happening on the NFC side, where to be fair, there's some dicey ones in there, like Sam Darnold. I don't know how you feel about it. Matt Stafford is clearly the one that you throw up there.
Stafford one, Darnold two?
No, I don't feel confident enough about Sam Darnold.
The options are kind of limited.
Brock Purdy gets an interesting shout, and then Jordan Love gets an interesting shout.
Caleb Williams?
And although Jordan Love is coming off an injury, Caleb Williams would be an interesting shout as well.
By the way, Jalen Hurts is still playing.
He is. That offense in general is the thing that scares me in some ways. But yeah, this is a place where, if we're being realistic, CJ Stroud does not feel like he's top half quarterback, at least in the way that the current run of things. And that's understanding that the offense has a governor on it, and it's put in the place that it is. But him elevating his play, I think that shows that there's a lot of room here to for him to elevate his play, for him to play his best football, and for him to make a huge difference in these playoffs.
Basically what we're saying is, all right, it's time, CJ. It's time to show us that. Are they going to allow CJ to do those things?
And that's also a big underlying portion of this. Somebody said, Herbert, dude chokes in the playoffs, 60 rating. Come on, be real. And maybe I need to have more consideration for him in his playoffs.
I mean, are we talking about all of that stuff in it?
Well, because I did that with Drake May. I did do that with Drake May as a rookie in the playoffs. So it would only be fair for me to then bring up that Justin Herbert in the playoffs has had a little bit of a rough time. I think that is a fair point to make. But I'm also not going to go to the place where the 8-3-2 goes and they go, Texans won 12 games, so he is better than all the people who won 12 games. Wins are not a quarterback stat. And if there was ever a season in Texans history to show you that, this would be the one, right? And I don't say that as somebody, I am not in a place where I'm trying to openly bash CJ Stroud. But, yeah, how many of those wins do you want to put squarely at CJ's feet?
Yeah, Davis Mills got three of them. Mm-hmm.
So, but again, I say all this not to knock on CJ Stroud, but to point out this is where I think the context of CJ Stroud's season could very much change just off of the strength of him showing up and being excellent in these games. And even with me saying excellent, I don't even know that it needs to be the incredible plays. I think it's just do what he's done well in these stretches, especially in the stretch since he's come back, but do it for the entirety of a game as opposed to some of these stretches that it seems like it happens.
And again, we may need to dig in on this maybe even tomorrow.
Let's do it.
Will they even fathom the idea of allowing him to loosen the reins a little bit?
Let's talk about it. Yeah. So that's a tease till tomorrow here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. But for the time being, it's about that time where we hand things over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got for us, man?
Yeah, so some local thieves broke into a store by cutting through the wall. You'll never guess what they was in there trying to get.
Oh, I gotta find this out. I'm so excited about this. We'll find out next.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yes, it is the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. Every day at 120, the Mixtape. So just in case, I don't want nobody to ever forget it.
Somebody texted. Hey, yeah. I haven't missed it, have I?
No, yeah, nope. It's every day at 120 on Sports Radio 610. So some local thieves decided to break into a store, not just crashing the window, not just picking the lock or anything like that.
No, that would be too easy.
Yeah. They decided to cut a wall through the vacant, I guess it was another store or empty space.
So well planned, like a bank robbery.
Yeah. Yep. So let's go out to Richmond, Texas. This was locally. This is in Richmond, Texas. It's a place called SJ Cars, who just opened up their store a couple weeks ago.
A card shop?
Yep.
I thought you said cars.
No, cards. Hey, man, we're getting into the memorabilia space. Okay. I know exactly what time we're
doing. So take a wild guess what kind of cars you think they was looking for.
Hold on. Let me guess.
Let me see.
Anime?
Pokemon?
Cards? I mean, Pokemon? Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Bingo.
Really?
Yeah, that's big money in that. That's big money business.
Let's go to KHOU 11 with this story.
This store just celebrated its grand opening before Christmas and never expected such a disappointing start to the new year. 2 days after a duo ransacked SJ Cards near Richmond, stealing mostly Pokemon-related items, the owners hope investigators catch them all.
They actually cut through the wall. Made it like a big square, got through.
You can see where the suspects broke through the shared wall of a vacant neighboring space in order to access the store. Before breaking into various displays where the popular Pokemon cards are kept in locked cases, this guy repeatedly struck one of them with a chair.
Going into this business, we already knew that people do steal from card shops. So that's why we did try to prepare for things like entry through the front, entry through the back, but we never would have imagined how they entered.
This clip shows the suspects attempting to get out through the rear door before going back the way they got in, despite an interior door having locked behind them.
Kicked it once, no, kicked it twice, went through, and they were gone.
This is just the latest in a number of card theft stories we've covered, like this one in Cyprus, something that's been an issue nationwide, thanks in part to a rapidly growing resale market and difficulties tracing cards. But in this case, the victims believe some of the cards showed up at a big card show this weekend, and authorities tell me they are actively investigating.
Man.
They only got one Pokemon pun in there, though. Unless I would stop paying attention, which I
think that
did.
Was the one they okay. got. I was like, gotta catch well, them
I
was like,
you
gotta,
I missed it. Went over my
catch,
head.
You gotta catch them all.
That was the phrase.
Yeah. They hope that they catch them all.
Oh, okay.
It made sense because catching a robber, or whatever. But yes.
How are they so valuable and so popular?
Man, man.
How?
I mean, how is a Honus Wagner card really valuable? You know,
screw this Babe Ruth guy. Yeah. Let's get this Charizard right here.
Yeah.
The most expensive Pokemon cards of 2025. Let me see. The number one card is an Umbreon X Special Illusion Rare Prismatic Evolutions. I have no idea what any of these words mean. I'm just reading. Estimated value, $1,000 raw. But if it's graded and rated the highest rating, it could be over $2,600.
Dude.
You know what I mean? Like, these things, it's really just a collection thing. Remember, especially during the pandemic, when people had a lot of disposable income, people got a lot into trading cards, whether it's Pokemon, sports trading cards. And then you remember, like, the sneaker market got real nasty?
Yeah, that was real nasty.
I think it just ends up being people finding personal value.
I don't think so.
This has been going.
That's a hardcore fan base, man.
Because sports cards have lived forever.
Yes.
In popularity. But Pokemon, do you think it's going to be the same?
It's been around for a long time.
It's been around
man.
A lot. Like, collecting. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about at least decade and a half, at least.
Yeah. Hey, just made me think of this. Have you seen these Labubu things?
I have.
What is it?
It's those little furry.
They basically look like, I don't know, Furbies or troll dolls, but it's just a modern iteation of it.
And people, mostly women, put it on their purses and backpacks. And I know you've seen them.
The sports context, especially for you, like in tennis, Naomi Osaka is big on Labubu. She has them now on her racket bag.
On her tennis bag?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's another one to me, I'm wondering if it's like that. It's a fad. It's like, way back.
It's been a fad for a long time, if it is, man.
No, I'm asking.
Yeah, I don't think it's something that just happened overnight.
Like Cabbage Patch. It's not going to go away.
Yeah. Nah, it seems like it's getting more serious, if anything. Mm-hmm. So, the people should have took the Pokemon cards out. I think at the point where you got the cards and all that stuff in the store. I know it's going to be a lot of work, but you just got to take those Pokemon cards out.
Yeah, but I guess...
They breaking into stores for them,
man.
Was
it like a cinder block wall or like a lighter?
I mean, that's a good question that I don't have.
It probably wasn't a cinder block. It probably could have been just like a drywall or something like that, because I think the other place was vacant.
Okay.
So they just went through that place.
Hey, man.
Were you at all a collector at all of anything?
I had a lot of Hot Wheels. I still have, I still have some originals from the 60s and 70s. And I had a lot of really good baseball and football and basketball cards.
But like, from the context of like collecting as a kid?
I gave them to my nephew and some friends and stuff because I just never collected. But I had a Hank Aaron. I had a Hank Aaron rookie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Was it in pretty good condition too?
Yeah, good. You know, it wasn't one of those, what do they call it?
Mint condition or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was in a case.
Yeah. It's fascinating because I've never been a collector of really anything, but I have worked in proximity and been good friends with people that are big into memorabilia and cards, and it's a different world.
It's
like
crazy.
It's not just a hobby. It almost becomes an investment portfolio. It's in some ways depending on how you do it. So no, there's giant conventions of people that do this, whether it's Pokemon or sports cards or any of those things, and learning about it even by osmosis has been wild. And it's sad to see that, people, no matter where money is to be made, people are going to end up in nefarious ways. That's really sick. And that sucks for the car shop.
Yeah. So hopefully they catch the guy, catch them all who, I guess, took the Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
As I continue on the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610, I got to give a rest in peace to my uncle Rob. He passed away last month. And I was thinking about something totally random he told me, because he's one of the uncles that talk about women. Be like, let me tell you about women. So he was one of those.
That's great advice, because it's either things that you should do or things that you go, now I know what not to do.
Yeah. And he told me this when I was younger. And so he was married at one point, ended up getting a divorce, all that. So he ain't got to get into all that. But something he told me stuck with me to this day. Is how he told me how women, all whenever you go out somewhere, you buy something, you always got to get two, because women always want something. He told me a story about how he went to the gas station, get some gas, went in the store, got a Snickers and an ice cream bar, came home, the wife was like, where my Snickers at? I like ice cream. And so he was like, so I got to get two of everything. Everywhere I got to go, I got to get double. And I didn't really think nothing of it, but I think he got a point here, Because here's a couple on Instagram, and they were out shopping at Target. I think it was around the holiday. So they were out shopping at Target, a.k.a. she was shopping. He was just tailing along.
Sure.
And he decided to dip off, go to Starbucks. Hey, let me get some. Let me get
something
to drink.
No.
This is how it went.
There you are. I've been looking all over for you.
Why did you get a coffee?
Oh, thirsty.
You didn't give me a coffee?
No, I was just thirsty. I couldn't find you. But you can have a drink of mine if you want a little bit.
I don't
want
to drink of yours. Why would you get a coffee and not get me one?
Hey, you can get your. I thought you would get your own coffee if you wanted a coffee.
Okay, so this whole time when I didn't know where you were in line to get a coffee and decided not to just get me one?
I was giving
but
you
got yourself a treat?
I was giving you space to shop and do your thing, and I was just going
to
go.
To shop.
That was a good play.
No, you're so annoying. I can't believe that that's something you would even do, because it's not funny.
But now I'm offering you some, and you won't even take a drink.
Because that's not the coffee I want. I'm sure of it.
Oh, boy.
By the way that it looks.
So you don't want me to give you space while you're shopping at Target?
Space?
That's a good play.
I want you to give me a coffee if you're going to get in line and get a coffee. That's what I want.
Always get two, brothers.
That was a good play, though, where he was like, let me use some of your words against
I'm
you.
I'm doing this for you.
I'm just staying out the way.
You told me that you wanted space to shop. You've once before told me that I should get out your way. So I did, and I just managed to get me a coffee.
Yeah. It is well played, but it's also a big mistake.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not a mistake. He clearly was recording this for content. He knew what he was doing.
Oh, yeah. But you got to get her.
You got just like my Uncle Rob said, got to get to everything.
You just got to preempt.
As coffee especially. Like she had a point. I mean, she went a little bit over it, but and he played it well. But you especially coffee. You got to, I can tell you exactly what my wife wants me to get her. I've gotten it so many times.
Yeah, you got to be better about knowing your personnel. Yeah. You know, it's KYP, baby. It's like, if I run this defense, they going to run that offense. Yeah. So I should counter that with this. So if I go get this coffee, she going to say, where is my coffee?
Or at least call. You want something? I'm right here. Do you want something?
Yeah.
So, rest in peace, my uncle. Right. Got to get two. It's also another thing that you cannot do with women. This then turned into
more Uncle Rob advice.
More Uncle Rob?
Yeah. So when you go somewhere, maybe your woman wants something.
Mm-hmm.
Always order something too. Don't let her just order something by herself.
This one drives me up a wall.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So here's the same couple. Ashley, I want to say the young lady wanted some ice cream from Dairy Queen,
mm-hmm.
and the husband said, "Okay, let's go."
Yeah.
She ordered something, and then he did something men are not supposed to do.
Hi, can I get your Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Blizzard, the mini?
Ooh, that's a good
mini peanut butter cup? Yeah.
You just got hungry.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see.
Thank you.
Why didn't you order anything?
I don't want anything.
Well, I certainly don't want something by myself. Are you kidding?
You asked if we could go get Dairy Queen.
Yes.
So we're at Dairy Queen, getting you Dairy Queen.
Oh, now I'm going to sit here and eat this whole blizzard. At least share with me.
I'm not hungry for ice cream. I don't want ice cream.
Then why are we here?
Because you asked if we could go to Dairy Queen.
Nobody wants to eat ice cream by themselves.
That's not true.
You never eat ice cream by yourself? That's crazy.
Not if you're with me. I'm not going to sit over here and eat a whole thing of ice cream and you sit over there and watch me do it.
Man, she better
be hot. I can't
believe
you didn't order this. That's so annoying.
She better be hot.
I am so mad. You know, I think you guys know me enough to know that I'm not easily irritable, but there's certain things that get under my skin. I'm so mad right now.
Yeah.
It's so illogical.
Yeah.
It pisses
me
off.
Always order something, even if you don't want to order anything.
And let me get a small fry.
No,
even
well.
If you're not hungry, order something.
Here's the... What you guys are saying is true, and it irritates me too. I think there's something worse. I think there's something.
You think it's her?
I think there's something worse than what we just heard. I'll just have some of yours.
Nope.
The hell you will.
The audacity.
I will say that, especially if you going somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not hungry.
Hey,
I'm good.
Or let's reverse the.
So, the fries are still in the bag, and you grabbing that bag.
Yes.
I'm like, damn. I thought you ain't want nothing.
I just want to go into Chick-fil-A. You know, just got a little small something.
Do you want something?
Do you want something?
No.
I'll just have some of yours.
No, you won't.
No, you will not.
I'll turn into Derrick Henry. You getting a stiff arm right now.
Hey, what? At least your wife let you know. My wife would be like, nah, I'm good. I already ate.
She lets
me
know.
As soon as I get my stuff, let me get a couple. I'm like, damn, I thought you wasn't hungry.
Not anymore, she doesn't, because she knows I'm going to say,
and that's why you got to get two, right?
Yes.
Uncle Rob knew something.
Yep. Got to get two. Got to get double everything.
Nothing irritates me more than, oh, I'll just have a bite of yours. No, I want all the bites. I want all the bites.
Hey, like Uncle Rob said, got to get double everything.
God bless Uncle Rob.
Yeah. Rest in peace, man. Yeah. But yeah, I'd never forget those words. Got to get double. So I got to get double everything.
Rest in peace to Uncle Rob, man. Yeah. And hope that you and yours are doing all right in that time.
Yeah.
That's the mixtape. I always enjoy the Figgy's mixtape, 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610 at the Figgy Fig on social media if you see something mixtape worthy. And I'm happy for you, 832, who said, I'm married to and my house don't operate like that. You don't understand. I'm genuinely happy for you. I'm happy that you don't need Uncle Rob's wisdom.
I can't tell you how many times I decided to go to Wingstop or something. And, hey, sweetie, you want something? No, I'm good. No, I already ate.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, let me get six wings because, you know, that'd be just enough for me.
Yeah.
Let me try a wing. I'm like, dang. Now I'm down to five wings.
Again, what did I say? I want all the bites.
That's right.
You order something else.
I should have ordered. If I would have knew that, I would have ordered 8 or 10 or whatever.
Yes.
Man.
He's like, I have a science and I ordered just enough.
I ordered just enough for me because you said you did not want anything. Don't get me started.
Yeah, we got to take a break and cool down. On the other side, we welcome in the fellas of the drive. But before that, is this the wildest thing that you've heard from a football player as it relates to movies? We'll talk about it next. Yeah, in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Wednesday. Getting ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive here shortly. I saw this, I think, this week. Because, I don't know, have you paid any attention to Hard Knocks? Just
no.
In general,
no.
But you know they have the
not a fan.
They have the end season edition
right
now.
Right.
And last year, I believe, was it last year? Or was it 2 years ago? Goodness gracious. It was 2 years ago. I think they did the AFC North, and that was interesting for a little bit. And I just didn't have enough bandwidth to keep up with it. Apparently, this year, it's the NFC East, and I also haven't kept up with it. However, I just randomly caught a portion of it. And I thought this was some of the most unhinged behavior that I've ever seen. And it happened to be, obviously, an NFL player. Bobby Wagner, very good linebacker in the NFL, although, you know, the career is waning.
Yeah.
He had this to say about a movie that he watched. And I, again, tell me if you think this is just as unhinged as it hit to me.
You seen The Martian, where he gets stuck in space? You know, that's the only movie I've watched with no sound. And I watched the whole movie.
You just have stuff, bro.
I have nothing, bro.
What?
I made up my own, like, just what I thought was going on.
Was the reason why you did that?
No. I was on an airplane, and you know how they... I missed the part where they said...
That makes sense why you watched.
Pass you out the headphones. So I don't have the headphones that stick into the thing. So the lady next to me was, like, had just started the movie. So I was watching it, and I just saw crazy going on, and I low-key watched the whole movie, and it was interesting.
So in the 2 hours that you watched that movie, did no flight attendant come ask you on some headphones?
Well, I don't know if she knew. I don't even think I was supposed to be watching the movie. It wasn't on my screen. It was somebody else's screen. So I didn't want to know. I didn't want her to know that I was looking at her screen. So I was just kind of like looking like this. But it was a good movie, and I've always said to myself, man, I need to watch that movie with sound. But then I was like, I don't want to ruin it because the movie good to me without sound.
Got to be a good ass movie like with sound.
Wow. First of all, he shouldn't feel bad about sneaking a peek. We've all done that, right? Like, if you didn't buy it or you didn't think you wanted to watch anything.
Without question.
And then somebody's sitting next to you like, it looks pretty good, you know, or whatever. We've all done that. So that's not the unhinged part. The unhinged part isn't even that he enjoyed watching it with no sound. I could see that. You know, you're just sitting there like sort of the unhinged part is he refuses to watch it with any sound.
I think he watching it without sound is unhinged. If it's not the watching it without sound, there was no subtitles apparently because he's like, I don't
know. Making it up.
He was just making it up.
Yeah, that's the unhinged part. Just make it up what you think happened or what you want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's, no, that's, I want him to go in detail what you think happened.
Yeah,
in this movie.
Yeah, it might be better than the original.
Tell me about the movie.
Yeah,
as like I heard that and I was like, ain't no way he's serious, and he's dead serious.
No, you could tell.
It.
You can even just on the audio, you could tell. At first, I thought, well, he must have been high. No. He was just...
He's very serious about
yes,
this.
Yes, very, very serious.
Just made up the plot of the film as he went. And I feel like this might have to be some level of like bet payoff at some point, mm-hmm. is to make you watch a film with no subtitles and no
seen.
Sound that you haven't seen.
See, like a lot of times whenever I've snuck a peek, I've already seen it, so I kind of know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool. But like, you have no idea. Like, you're making it up as you go.
Yeah, I would like a book report on a movie that you didn't see or didn't hear.
Yeah.
any of the sound of. Like, I just found that to be fascinating. Who in the Texas do you think would be liable to do that?
Ooh, good one. I'm trying to come up with a really good answer.
Yeah,
here.
I'm trying to because it's funny. You would think that it's like somebody that's really eccentric, like, but Bobby Wagner does not present as really eccentric as a player.
But someone who would like maybe be a deep thinker like that, like, you know what? I'm enjoying, you know, in my own head what I think is happening here. I'm going to say Dalton Schultz.
Huh?
Dalton Schultz. You know, he's a gamer. He is all into, you know, the videos and all that. I think he could probably have the imagination to see what's... Because he does, like, the... Not, like, racing games or sports games. He does the... What are they called?
Yeah, like, I think some nerdy games.
Yeah, the nerdy one. I think he could probably have...
RPGs and stuff,
the creativity and the... Yeah, to do it. I'm going to say Dalton Schultz.
Okay. Yeah, There's names that keep coming to mind, but none of them feel like they hit. Somebody said, "Did he say he was? What movie did he say he was watching? The Martian."
Yeah, which isn't that good a movie,
is it?
Nah,
I haven't watched it. Yeah. I haven't watched
it's
it.
Probably so, better. His script was
about
probably
to say,
better.
Yeah, probably good watching it in silent.
Yeah.
Am I just profiling, or am I just not being imaginative? That it feels like this is a linebacker thing.
No. Well, who's coming to mind?
It felt like I was like Aziz. I feel like would do that.
Mm-hmm. Aziz. I don't know. I for some reason, I just immediately thought of Schultz, you know, because he was talking about his big gaming room and all. I could see where he could get that. But maybe Aziz. It's out there. There's no question about that. It is definitely out there.
So we were talking about this earlier. Are you surprised that we haven't like seen any resolution on like safety, or does that just feel like that's going to be a tomorrow thing? Right.
I guess at this point, because we started the show talking about a pretty at this point. Concerning is fair.
I may, and the way that our audience reacted to me bringing this up this morning, it makes me wonder, am I just overreacting? But I don't think I am.
You're not alone.
Kayvon Wallace being released yesterday or waived yesterday in order to bring Darrell Taylor back from injured reserve, which is fine and dandy that you have yet another pass rusher. But I think that with how light you've already been, particularly at safety, but in the secondary in general.
Yeah.
The idea that you end up not just saying that, you know, this guy isn't going to start, because he was a starter this past week. He was a starter the week before. Yes, he had a rough week this past week. I'm not here to tell you any different. But the idea that he was outright waived probably points to something that you were talking about, that maybe this is just like he was far beyond the pale of doing what he needed to do and being in the right place. But I've seen people compare this to, well, like C.J. Gardner-Johnson, maybe, you know, not doing the right things, putting the integrity of your defense in jeopardy.
Yeah.
The difference is week three, four, five. It was week three. It was week three because I very vividly remember that. When you let go of him, you have, one, a number of options that you can throw out there, and two, you have a lot of time, at least, well, I guess in that moment, it didn't feel like a lot of time because you were 0-3 and you needed to get yourself back in winning ways to salvage the season.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, you did more than salvage it, but you're headed to a playoff game in, what, 5 days?
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of options, at least readily available, that we're looking at to fill that role. And so it was just odd to see that. And I don't know what the answer is. Is it Miles Bryant? A dude in Miles Bryant that I know I've seen some people saying, oh, no, well, he's better than Kayvon Wallace. I don't know that I felt that way when Kayvon Wallace took over. And that's also considering that when Miles Bryant was playing, they ended up playing him back more in order so Kalen Bullock would come and play up. And it felt like it took Kalen Bullock out of his best place.
Yeah, I said it was a concern. Now, that you do have to realize, we all realize this. I mean, they have a plan. They're going to have a guy that they're going to acquire or elevate or whatever. But I still think, no matter that, it's still going to be something of a concern, not just because of who you're playing and the stakes at hand here, but I said this earlier. You were shorthanded and sort of looking for answers at the safety position when Kayvon Wallace was here. And now he's not here, and you're down to two safeties. And some people have thought, we've talked about it, Jaden Reed. This is a mind-blowing thing for me. Jaden Reed had one hell of a game against Buffalo. Like a terrific, oh, okay, I see it now type game. 12 tackles, 9 solos. In 6 other games, by the way, it's only 7 games that he's played in. In 6 other games, he's had 2 tackles and no pass breakups and all that. So, yeah, it's a concern even if they bring someone in or elevate or whatever. But it's got to happen because, this is not playtime anymore.
The easiest path, I think, assuming that it isn't like – a dislike for what Kayvon Wallace brings on the field, which would just it feels like it's too rapid of a change from giving Kayvon Wallace credit. It feels like this is a return to the practice squad and then elevate.
Yeah.
I would have just imagined that they would have happened today. You know what I mean? But
we talked about it. We'll see. This morning as if it's probably going to happen during our show. Well, it didn't. It may happen during the drive or maybe tomorrow morning. But Kayvon Wallace was not without flaw, even if you take away the big play that he gave.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, without question.